Over to the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, beginning at the first verse, the 18th chapter. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments, to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and doeth not such like, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken of his hand from the poor, and that hath not received usury nor increased, hath executed my judgment, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among the people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes to do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his way, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. You know, he tells us here in the Word, he states that he hath no pleasure in them that die. You know, so many times we deal with the subject God, the Spirit of life, and Jesus, the Prince of life, and we try to emphasize that God hath no fellowship with death. God does not fellowship death. God doesn't have any fellowship with death. God has a plan for death. But the one thing that we really need to get down in our hearts and minds and settle this deep down our heart is that God is not the instigator of death. God is not the one that sent death into the world. God is not the one that put death into the world. Death never got here by God. It never was God's plan. God had nothing to do with it. And God certainly had no pleasure in them that die. You love Jesus? Let me talk to you just for a few minutes and then we'll let you go. I want you to really get a hold of that. We preach so many times concerning life, and we've tried to press upon you so many times the need of you being able to understand and believe that God is life. There's a great need in your heart that you should believe that God is the Spirit of life and that God is concerned about life. If you don't believe that, the devil can confuse you, take advantage of you, and misuse you, and steal all of the blessings that God hath for you in life. See, because there is no blessings in death, there is no blessings except in life, for God is the Spirit of life. Anything that is not life, it doth not hold any blessings. Because blessings exist within the realms of life. And if there is no realm of life present, there is no blessings present. Because there is no blessings in confusion, there is no blessings in death. You understand what I'm saying? All of the blessings of God are in the realms of life and in the world of light. And we are children of light. We dwell in the world of light. And we are children that live in the Spirit of God because we are born to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why that God emphasizes to us in the Word, that we should live holy, that we should live righteous. What is the benefit of living holy? What good does it do me to live holy? What benefit do I get out of walking upright before God, of doing the right things? What benefit is that to me? In that I am saved by faith. A lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, you're saved by faith in God. What difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. Because faith will not work in a wicked heart. Faith will not come forth from a careless heart. Faith in God will not work in an unrighteous person. You must live right. You must give your deeds to God. Give your service to God.
You must surrender your whole life to God if you're going to have faith. And to be saved, you must have faith. Faith will not work in a heart of iniquity. Faith will not come forth in a heart of unrighteousness. Therefore, I must live right. I must do my best to order my steps right, to keep my deeds right, to make my life conform to the way of God if I am to ever have a heart that will produce faith, or a conviction that God loves me or cares for me or have made a place for me. So then I must live right, otherwise my heart will condemn me. Now the Bible tells me that if my heart condemns me, God's greater than my heart. He knoweth all things. He knows that I've been born to the Spirit if I'm born again. But he said, if my heart condemn me not, then do I have faith toward God that what I ask of God, then I receive of God. If I'm doing my very best, and if I stumble and I stagger when I know that I'm doing my very best, I should never let condemnation overwhelm me. I should never be swallowed up by condemnation, because I have done my best. I have tried my best to please God. And therefore, if I stumble, I should not condemn myself, but I should repent and say, my God, forgive me. I made no plans to do that. That wasn't my purpose and desire. But God, Satan cunningly prepared a trap and caught me in it. And oh God, I beg of you to forgive me for it. And I just put the thing behind me and go on with God. Now the Bible tells us that if we turn away from our righteousness, that God will not remember all that we've done. You know, a lot of people in this world, they love to believe that if they've ever done anything good, that God's going to remember that when they come to the judgment. And if they've ever lived a few years for God or tried to do anything right, they love to believe that God, on the strength of that, is going to take them into heaven no matter what they do for the rest of their life. But I want you to know something, friend, that God, in His Word, He tells us that if you don't continue to do right, that all that you ever done will be forgotten. Everything that you ever done will be forgotten, and God will not remember any of your righteousness. But in your sins ye shall die. In your sins ye shall die. Now you say, but Brother Pike, what are we going to do with predestination? We're going to do with it the same thing that Paul did with it. What did Paul do with it? Paul taught that we are predestinated in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are predestinated unto God, and that unto good works. My brother, if your deeds are not found in Christ, your life is not found in Christ, your predestination is not unto the kingdom of God and not unto eternal life. If your deeds are found in this world and your ways are found in this world and your desires are found in this world, your foreknowledge and predestination is unto eternal damnation and separation from God. Therefore, our predestination rests within Christ, if it be godly predestination. All right, so then, the Bible tells us, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. If I hold on to what God has given me, if I continue to walk upright, if I do everything I can to please God, then faith is going to be in my heart. If I struggle against this old outer force, this power of evil that comes against me, that's always harassing my mind, if I struggle against the outer man, Adam, and fight against it with all that I have on the inside, then I can overcome it, and I can come into the great, wonderful inheritance of God. You know, you've got to fight against it. The Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. Every one of us has got a fleshly body. We are tabernacling as an inner man in an outer body of clay. We're tabernacling in this little temple of this tabernacle as we go through earth. And inasmuch as this inner man is on the inside, he is struggling against the outer forces of Satan, because Paul speaks of corruptible flesh, and he tells us that within our body or in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Now, one thing we've got to come to understand, brothers and sisters, is that you or me or they or them or anybody else. It doesn't matter what church, what organization, what body of people. They're all classified as the same in the sight of God. They are corruptible flesh, and there is no good thing in their flesh. To will is present, but the performance of that which is willed by the inner man, Paul said, I can't find. I can't find the performance. I find that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And I find in my outer man a law warring against my inner man and against my inner mind. And that law being strengthened by the powers of Satan. He said, I find that it closes in on me. And said, when that force comes in on me, I find it harassing my mind. I find that it's overriding my ability in my outer man. I can't do anything. I can't make this outer man do anything. That power is so great because my human senses are subject to the passions and things of this world. It is so great. The powers of oppression are so great. I can't manage it. He said, I've got to have some kind of super strength. I've got to have some kind of inner ability. I've got to have some kind of divine intervention. I've got to have something that comes from somewhere that will rise up on the inside of me and put this outside thing to silence. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me, he said, from the body of this death? He said, this body is a living death, and I'm caught within this body. Who will deliver me from this body, this corruptible flesh? Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Then he said, I thank God. I thank God that he sent his son Jesus to die at Calvary, to take the corruptible flesh, to nail it to Calvary, to put the middle wall of partition out of the way, to do away with it. And that he took that body, nailing it to Calvary, that it made an end of that old outer me. It done away with that outer you. And there is no more outer me and no more outer you in the sight of God. As long as I walk in the Spirit, that outer me and outer you is dead. It's been buried in the name of the Lord. It is no more. It does not exist in the sight of God anymore. And when God sees me, he sees me as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And Pilate said, in this just man I find no fault. So then Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And it pleased God that he should reveal his Son in my life, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, tonight, we who are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing less than the revelation of Jesus Christ made manifest to the world. Hallelujah. We should stand up for God and let the world see what God is doing from our inner man by overcoming the outer man. But let me tell you something, friend. When you walk according to the passions of the body, when you walk after the flesh, when you desire the things of the flesh, when you give over to the things of the body, the things of the outer man, you can shout, dance, holler, you can confess Christianity all you want to, but you're going to die and go to hell. There is no escape for you because God said so. See, that outer man is condemned to die. And the Bible tells us that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, beloved. But ye are in the Spirit of God, if so be the Spirit of God dwelleth within you. Now if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then he shall quicken your mortal body by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. For with the same Spirit that he used to raise up Christ from the dead, so shall he also quicken your mortal body by the same Spirit. So then we see that Israel could not please God. This is why God chided with Israel. God was continually at variance with Israel. Always he was chiding with Israel. What was wrong with Israel? Israel done everything that they knew to do. But see, they still couldn't please God. Why? Because ritualistic isn't going to please God. Trying to do things in the natural isn't going to please God. Because it's your very best efforts. It's going to be as filthy rags in the sight of God. But I'll tell you, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, when you get full of the Holy Spirit, when your cup is running over with godliness, then you're going to find out that the old outer man is going to take a bow to the inner man, and God is going to do something special for you. All right, so then if I walk after the flesh, I must die. I am condemned to die if I walk after the flesh. But if I walk after the Spirit, I am not condemned to die. I have escaped death. How did I escape death? By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am then free from the bondage of the flesh. I am then free from the law of sin and death. I am then free from that which hath a penalty of death upon the flesh, because the law hath no power over him that is dead. He that is dead, he that is buried, there is no power or authority of the law over that man, because he is dead to the law. If I am dead to the law, then I am free from the law. And beloved friend, if I am free from the law, then I cannot die. I can never die, because I'm free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that death comes because of sin. For the sting of death is sin. And sin gets its strength by the law. But if the law is folded up, laid away, hath no power over me, then it hath no sting. If it hath no sting, then it hath no power to kill me. Sin hath no power over me. If sin hath no power over me, the sting of death is not there. Because sin is the sting of death. If there is no sin, there is no death. You know what I'm saying? Brother, the Bible said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. It didn't say maybe he wouldn't sin if he got a case of do better, or if he tried to hold on. The Bible said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin, because he is born of God. If he cannot sin, he cannot die, because the sting of death is sin. Therefore we have passed from death unto life, hallelujah, and shall never come into condemnation. Now then you say, but Brother Pike, how then do you account for what you just said? If a man do righteousness and then fall away. The Bible said Judas had attained part of this ministry. Is that right? The Bible tells us that the spirit of Satan did not enter into Judas until the supper. When Jesus gave him the sop, then entered the spirit of Satan into Judas. Isn't that right? And Jesus said, do what thou wilt quickly. Whatever you're going to do, go ahead, Judas, and do it in a hurry. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if you do righteous, you say, and then turn and do wickedly, all of your righteousness shall not be remembered, and your sins you shall die. How do you account then for what you're saying? The Bible said if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us, that it was made manifest, or to be made manifest, that they were never of us. They were never of us. Now, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that they can do righteousness and still not be of us? They certainly can. A man can come in and do righteous, but he still may not be born of God. He may come in and do good alms deeds, but he still may not be born of God. The Bible tells us that the satanic ministers of our day can transform themselves into ministers of light. They have the ability, by the transforming of their minds, to get up and minister the word of light to you and preach a sermon to you. But that does not mean that they're right with God. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said, after that you have come to the knowledge of the truth, having been partakers of the Holy Ghost, having tasted of the power of God, of the good things of God in the world to come, he said, and then if you fall away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. So then we understand that once we get a knowledge of God, it is required of us. God requires it of us. You cannot go back out into the world and, as you say, backslide and turn around and say, well, God said be hot or cold. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm just going to be cold and God will have mercy on me. I want you to know that when you come to the knowledge of God, you can never be cold again. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said you can never be cold again once you come to the knowledge of God. You can never be cold again. A person that is cold is dull that are considered not to know anything about God. And God can have mercy because of their ignorance. But friend, when you come to know God, you can never be cold again. If you go away from God, you are in the in-between. You are in the place to where God will spew you out of his mouth, and you are in the place to where you will reproach God, and the world will see it. Knowing that you have been with God and knowing that you have walked with God, and then to turn back to the beggarly elements of this world, you will stir up the wrath of God within him, and God will literally destroy you. The Bible said, beware ye that forget godless, I tear you into pieces. Alright, so then Israel, why is God so upset with you? What has caused the Lord to be so wroth with you? Israel, the apple of his eye, why is it that God is so wroth with you? Simply because they learned about the things of God. They were better off to never have known the way than to come into the ways of God and then turn around. Oh, friend, let me tell you something tonight. You that have come to the knowledge of God, whether you be young, whether you be middle-aged, whether you be elderly people, if you've come to the knowledge of God, the greatest mistake you ever made in your life was coming to the knowledge of God, if you're not going to serve God.
Right, amen. Praise God.
Did you know the worst thing that ever happened to Israel was when they got the law? Israel was doing fine until they got the law. Did you know that? The mercy of God was with Israel. God led Israel like a son. God loved Israel. But brother, when God gave Israel the law, and the law said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not do these things, and then Israel continued to do it, having those things in their mind, in their heart, it caused God's wrath to burn against them like a flame of fire. Before the law ever come, just think, 430 years before the law ever come, God gave our father Abraham a plan. Hallelujah. It wasn't by the law, because by the law no flesh shall be justified. By the law came the knowledge of sin. By the law comes the strength of sin. By sin comes death. But 430 years before the law ever came, God looked down from heaven, took a man of faith, and said, Abraham, thou art my friend.
Amen.
Because you believe in God. Because you do not withhold that which was dear to your heart. Thou art the friend of God. And the Bible said God justified Abraham by faith. And years before that, when Enoch came along, walked with God 300 years, and was not, for God took him. When we get the record of it, Paul in the New Testament tells us that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible tells us that he was translated by faith that he should not see death. I know there's Bible scholars in the world that don't understand. And they say that Enoch must come back and die. They say that every man must taste of death. Enoch must come back and die. But I've said this many times. If Enoch comes back and dies, the whole scripture will be torn apart. The whole Bible will be wrong. The scriptures will be broken when the Bible tells us that the scriptures cannot be broken. You say, where do you get that? Paul said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Brother, if he has to come back and see death, then it's going to change the whole situation. So then, when we think about the glory of God and the power of God and the ability of God and what he does by faith, it's such a great moment that we're living in. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When the law came, sin and death came. And brother, the Bible tells us if there had been any kind of law that God could have given that would have saved mankind, he would not have caused Christ to come into this world and die. Paul and Peter had the dispute when Peter turned around back over there. Some of them come over from the house of James and others. And it shook Peter up, and he turned around and he began to withdraw from them that was walking by faith. No, Paul the apostle walked out just as bold as a lion, stepped out of the midst of all of them and said, Peter, I blame you to your face because you're to be blamed. I know you've got the keys to the kingdom, but I blame you to your face because you're to be blamed, Peter. Hallelujah. He said, if salvation, if the grace of God has come by the law, Jesus Christ died in vain. He said, and all of the hope is gone. But he said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. He said, if that had been a law that could have saved man, God wouldn't have sent his own son down here to die. Glory to God. Paul had the revelation of Jesus Christ. He understood where he had been, what he was doing, what he was trying to tell him. Hallelujah. And he stood there and he told Peter, he said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. He said, man is saved by faith in the grace of what the Son of God did. Hallelujah. Peter didn't say anything because he knew that God was with Paul. Peter just turned about and said, I tell you, he said, Paul says things that's hard to be understood. Hallelujah. They that are unlearned, he said, they take them and rest to their own destruction. Said, my beloved brother Paul. He didn't fuss with him. He didn't find fault with him because he knew that he had erred. The Bible said, if you see your brother err, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves, lest ye be tempted also. Hallelujah. What a day that we're living in. To think that anybody would go back to the hog pens of the world, I can't fathom it. To think that anybody would look back into Egypt in the day that we're living in. To go back to the beggarly elements of this world. The Bible said, wherein ye desire to be in bondage, God, having delivered you from those things, would you then follow that outer man? Would you then follow that man that hath the sentence of death in him? Would you then walk in the corruptible flesh of this world and in the ways of the wicked and go back and be entangled in death again? When God has put life before you, would you do that? Oh, I tell you, this is the most beautiful hour that man has ever known. This is an hour when man can have life. God had nothing to do with death. God didn't put death in this world. God had no plans for death. The Bible says that God did not send death. God is not the friend of death. Death is the enemy of God. And the Bible tells us that death came by man and not by God. Man is what brought death into this world, not God. God didn't bring death into this world. Glory to God, that makes me feel good when I know that I don't have to have any fellowship with death. And I know that the God that I'm serving is taking me away from death. And I know that God doesn't want me to die. It makes me feel good because I don't like death. Hallelujah. Me and death have nothing in common. Glory to God, I like to live. I like to live. David said, I can't praise you, God, if you put the dirt in my face. If you put me down in the dungeon of death, I can't praise thee, God. But he said, as long as I live, as long as I walk, as long as I can stand in your presence, I can praise you, God. Hallelujah. Don't you know that makes God feel good? The Bible said God hath no pleasure in them that die. How can God have pleasure in Brother Taylor if he gets to where he can't say, I love you, Jesus? Somebody say amen. How can God have pleasure in Brother Bobby if they put him in the dirt when he can't say hallelujah? Say hallelujah, Bobby. Glory to God. How can God have any pleasure when you go down in the dungeons and the chambers of despair where you can't love his lovely name and can't tell people about his greatness? I have no pleasure in them that die. But oh, glory to God, Brother Fontaine, when we stand and tell about Jesus and we praise Jesus and we love Jesus and we tell all the world about Jesus and his great and mighty deeds. Hallelujah. That makes God feel good because that's God's pleasure. God hath pleasure in them that live. Let's live, brethren. Let's live. Hallelujah. Let's live. God doesn't want you to die. Let's live. Let's use our faith in God tonight to overcome sickness, to overcome poverty, to overcome death, to overcome all of these enemies of God. Let's live not only for a few years, but let's live eternally. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all live. Hallelujah. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. Somebody's going to discover that God and the death and the spirit of death is not friends. Did you know that? I said somebody, some generation, some people is going to discover that God and death is not partners, and that they don't have any fellowship and they don't have any friendship, and that they don't get along at all, that they're just as contrary to one another as they can be. And that generation is going to turn their back on death and walk on with life. And like Enoch, one day the world is going to start looking for him, and they're not going to find him, because the Bible said he was not, because he was translated that he should not see death. Hallelujah. Before his translation, he had a testimony. What kind of testimony was it? He had the testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about believing in his word. That's what faith is. Hallelujah. You know, people believe in everything, everywhere, from every direction. But when you talk about faith, you're talking about believing what Jesus said. What did he say? Live on, folks. Live on. Glory to God. You say, Brother Pike, did Jesus say live on? Jesus said, Brother Pike, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you can keep on living. Hallelujah. Don't you believe Jesus died at Calvary so you could keep on living? Don't you believe that? If I didn't believe that tonight, you'd have to put me in a straitjacket. Jesus died at Calvary so I could keep on living. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life filled up and overflowing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Keep on living. Keep on living. Keep on living. I made you to live. Hallelujah. Death came by man, not by God. Keep on living, folks. Glory to God. If you're enjoying living, keep on living. Live in a greater way, in a greater measure. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't base your life on a calendar and say January and February and March and I'm 35, and January and February and March and I'm 65, and January and February and March, I hope my insurance is paid up. Don't be foolish. Glory to God. What's January and February got to do with it? Somebody tell me, glory to God, what's that got to do with it? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God didn't put us on a timetable. You say, well, who did? The devil. If you got faith in the devil, you just keep on doing what you're doing. Out in the world, they call it keep on trucking. If you got faith in the devil, keep on trucking, as they say. That's right. That's, they used to be a dance they had. That is, just stay with the dance hall. If you got faith in the devil, you're headed where he's headed anyway. Somebody say amen. Amen. Paul said we use great plainness of speech. Some of you understand that kind of talk, don't you? Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, if you got faith in God, just keep on living. Just keep on living, because God did not instigate death. He is not the friend of death. Hallelujah. How then can I escape death? By just keeping on living. How's a man going to die if he just keeps on living? Now if he quits living, he's going to die. But see, just keep on living. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you can't do that. The Bible said by faith Enoch did do that. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We'll all do like Enoch done one day. Isn't that right? I show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. Somebody going to discover that we can keep on living. Let's keep on living, folks. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. I could just go on and go on. You know, talking about the wonderful things of God. I really could. Because it thrills my soul. But the thing is, let's just keep on living. The brother tonight in the prophecy said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Let's just keep on living. You know, it reminds me of a singer, Al Jolson. They used to have an old-time singer many years ago. He sang opera. And he filled up the opera buildings across the nation and the world, the greatest, biggest buildings in the world. And he would sing until the crowds were just literally spellbound. And when they were just literally spellbound, he'd throw out his chest and throw his hand back and said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Glory to God. That's confidence, ain't it? That's the way it is with Jesus. You've seen all of this and you ain't seen nothing yet. Glory to God. He's got things in store for you if you'll believe. He's got things for you, beloved friend, that will just cause your heart to just be raptured. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. God is a spirit. He inhabits the praise of his people. Let's love him. Let's praise him. When we come into the house of God, let there be a song in our heart. Let there be a song in our mind. Let's just praise God. Let's just lift our hands while they're playing on the instrument and just praise God and love God for a little. Can we? Father, tonight we love you for your presence, Jesus. God, we love you for your spirit tonight, Heavenly Father. We love you because we want to live tonight, Jesus. God, we want to keep on living. Father, we want to keep on living tonight. Glory to God, Father, we want to keep on living tonight. Father, to tell about Jesus and to tell about the glories of God and to keep doing something for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We want you to move sickness, move sorrow, move diseases, move bondages, move afflictions, Father. Father, move oppression, move demons, move devils, Father. Move all of those things that tear up homes, Father, that divide homes and drive away mothers from little children. Move all of that, Father. Let the blessings of God be upon us tonight. Hallelujah. Let your great and mighty spirit, Father, be upon us tonight. Let the glory of God come down tonight. Hallelujah, Father. Move by your presence, O God. Hallelujah. If that be one here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Father, if there be one here tonight that's afflicted, Father, move the affliction. If there be one that's sick tonight, move the sickness, Father. If there be one here tonight that needs deliverance, bring the deliverance, Father, tonight. Touch them, Father, hallelujah. With your great spirit and your great power, mighty God of heaven. Lord, we do praise thee. We do give thee glory tonight. Lifting up our hands, holy hands, made holy by the blood of Jesus. Walking in the Spirit, Father. Living in the Spirit, Father. Singing in the Spirit, O God. Giving thee praise and glory and honor for your majesty, O great and mighty God of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. While we're praising him, let's sing that song I wrote called Long Live the King. Can you? Maybe I'll sing a verse so and get Brother Taylor up here. He really knows it and he can sing it. Let's sing it. Long live the King, the King of all ages. Long live the King of eternity. Let angels shout, can you shout his name, and sing his praises. His name is Jesus. Long live the King. Sing it again. Long live the King.